Welcome to Uniquely Loved, a celebration of authenticity and divine inspiration. We are encouraged to be our own unique, authentic selves. Join me, Tech Witch Nikki, as we discuss spiritual gifts and skills we can develop and enhance, speak with amazing people using their skills in a variety of ways, and explore the different ways to connect to the wonders of the universe. Hello, my loves. I have a special treat for you today. I would like to introduce Jordan Harris. I'm going to read his bio. Jordan Harris is a polytheist focused on the Old Norse religion, Neoplatonism, and ceremonial magic. He is the founder and current president of CUPS, the Covenant of the Unitarian Universalist Pagans of Lawton, Oklahoma. It is an ethical pagan community that is a part of the Unitarian Universalist Church. He is focused on fostering healthy community for marginalized faiths. Jordan, thank you so much for being here today.
Lost my mouse there for a minute, but no, I'm super happy to be here, Nikki. I'm very honored and grateful to be on this podcast. I love your work. I'm very excited. So again, my name is Jordan. I'm the current president of our local CUPS in my area in Oklahoma, where we try to foster, we actually manage pretty well to foster safe, inclusive, spaces for minority religions. And to start out, I'm going to read our mission statement, what we strive to do here, which is, our statement is, the Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans of Lawton, or CUPS, exists to provide a safe, ethical, and educational space for pagans, polytheists, atheists, and marginalized religions that fit our mission of equality, social justice, and truth. And what that basically means is, if you don't typically have a church to go to, if you don't have a religious community that is like seen, is recognized as being real, you probably fit within our demographic of what we're trying to do. And our mission of equality, social justice, and truth basically means that if you discriminate on people based off their class, their race, their religion, etc., you probably go against that and would not probably feel comfortable in our community as open as it is. And that's like the hard part of like running communities is no matter what you do, once you have your mission statement, which I would recommend starting with first, who are you serving? What are you building? Who is it for? You are probably going to be cutting out someone, no matter how open or progressive or otherwise you are. We can't break bread with someone that wants to literally harm us and call that space safe.
Right.
So hopefully I explained that well.
Oh, you did. And when I first started out, I never even considered there being anything that would be inclusive for a church with anything pagan, omniist, animist, atheist, or any other paths. And here you are making it happen.
Yeah, and that's thanks to really like the UU's mission, the Unitarian Universalists, which started out, like they existed before this. There's a well-documented history of Unitarians and Universalists that go from the Protestant movement. But during the Civil Rights era, when people were like arguing about segregation and what that meant for Protestant churches, the UUs got together to make an equitable church. And that soon exploded into, well, there's probably like multiple ways to find God. And it started being less and less specific on like how you find God. So there's still a Protestant church officially, but they have a pagan branch. They fight for equal rights. They fight for equality. It is one of the most open spaces that I have been to. And in Oklahoma, it's like the like blue dot in the Red Sea kind of. And it's been pretty fruitful
awesome.
for us. Let's see. But I've been running this for about 2 years. I'm the founder and president. We've gone through a couple of hard cycles. So, I'm here to answer any questions or there's a lot I want to talk about. I just don't know how to like make it flow.
That's okay. So you offer in-person and over Zoom classes, and you're I don't think you call them sermons.
No, we just call them services.
Okay.
So, kind of break down like how we operate, at least currently, because we run off democracy and things can change dramatically, very quickly, even for the good. We don't want to build backwards. So our services are at like 1:30 p.m. on Zoom. We have a Discord. We have a Facebook group as well. We have a digital library. Lots of ways to interact and like find out stuff and through multiple religions. We're working on workshops this year. We are running with Rural Oklahoma to bring LGBTQ plus information to places that are rural, that are out in the country where that support doesn't exist. Instead of having like a board, we have a council where we own our labor. It's very like socialist inspired. So if you were to go, hey, I have this idea, I want to run this women's support group. And you are a part of our congregation, you're a part of our membership, and you go, hey, I want to do this. If we meet about it, we look at the liability, and then we green light. And then like that is yours. You can do it. Right? We want people to expand and grow in the way that they see fit with them owning their labor. That even means like our secretary, whoever runs our meetings, life happens. They are volunteers. We cannot pay them. Like we're broke for one. We'd love to pay people, but we're broke. So if they need to skip for 4 weeks to do life stuff, like that's just what it is. We have to manage and work together, surprisingly. Right? Like we have to communicate actually and work around those things. But that keeps people excited and interested because everyone involved should be excited with what they're doing.
So all of this is volunteer ran?
Yes,
Oh, wow.
absolutely. And it's lay led. We even have trustee positions on our board, and typically trustees' only real concern, like other orgs, as far as I know it, is like to make sure you stick with the bylaws, which is important. If you have bylaws, you want to keep that decorum and make sure the machine's running as it should. But our trustees are largely liaisons for a greater community. So if we meet and we make some bad decision, like everyone pays $25 for parking. Like probably not a good decision. Our trustees' job is to keep us in line with our mission and to
Okay.
like pull us by our ear and be like, hey, what are you doing? Or I'm hearing a lot of like we're getting a lot of interest in like Diana and Artemis, right? Can we have a service on those, right? Because we can't have our ears and eyes everywhere, and it's very easy to make something for you. So in your intro, right? I'm primarily a Norse polytheist. I love Thor. I have a friend in Thor, to quote like Eric the Red. Sorry, it'd be very easy for me to make like a Norse church, right? We have a Satanist member that is going to be a talk do a talk this week for both services. It'd be very easy for them to like make this a Satanist church, but it's for everyone. And how do you counteract it? How do you keep from building it for you and building it for everyone else? And so trustees are a good way to do
Okay.
that.
And you've had a ton of different courses or speakers come on with a wide range of subjects to teach people.
So I don't know how we do that, honestly. It is we so for the UU side, because we have two services, we have a traditional in quotes, because everything's a little different. If you go to two UUs, they'll be radically different service, and then we have our cups. So just to go through a few, we have done like instead of Veterans Day, we did like a Warrior Celebration Day. We talked about like the good and bad of like warrior classes in history, how it was more like a talk on colonization, to be honest, and then we venerated Ares, right? We've done altars and sacred spaces. We've had Jay on, who is a Galatia practitioner. We're having you on soon. We've done death and aftercare from a funeral director member. We've had we've talked about grimoires and books of shadow, just all sorts of stuff. And so it's really, sorry, I'm trying to think. I did the Dark Side of Christmas. That one was fun too. But on our new side, we have like rat. We've learned about agriculture. So it's really a place to come and learn. Like that is our point. We use the traditional Wheel of the Year for celebrations. So we meet for like Samhain. We meet for Yule, stuff like that as well. We do a lot of celebration, a lot of potlucks.
Cool.
Let's see. I guess do you want me to kind of get into like the origins of like how this started?
Sure.
So I started like my pagan journey in, so I'm trying to think. It was probably like 6 years ago, 6, 7 years ago. I'm trying to remember because it coincides with like me getting like married and fighting housing insecurity and a bunch of other stuff. I had a great counselor at our local college who was like a bona fide like therapist. And I was looking for masculinity, right? I felt very like divorced from myself in a few ways. I'd been agnostic for a long time. I was raised Baptist. I started looking into the Old Norse, like the Poetic Edda and stuff like that, which has been like a theme through my life. And so I started questioning, and I thought like pagans were like pirates and ninjas, right? Like they kind of existed. Culture doesn't really talk about them a lot, and they're almost fantasy, right? Like when was the last time you saw a pagan before going into pagan communities? And so I spent a few years deconstructing and reconstructing. I joined a few online groups, some of them very, very harmful. One was I got to learn about like racism in heathenry pretty early, so that was fun. And as those groups like disintegrated and ate each other, stuff like that, I was like just like very upset because like racism sucks and we shouldn't be promoting racism in our religions. And I just wanted community. So I went on a mission to make community. So I started with Fellowship of Midgard, which was a heathen space, an ethical heathen space. And that did very poorly. Because one, any demographic of pagan, any very, very specific demographic of pagan traditions, it's going to be hard to find. If I did like a Wicca group, I probably would have done way better with finding others. But for something like a Kemetist or Hellenist, a little more difficult in my area. And then like the demographic of people I got were those harmful people, unfortunately. It's just hard, at least in my area. I'm sure there's wonderful places and there are great online communities and stuff that kick out bigots. And so I around that time when I was trying to form that, I went to my local UU. I don't really know what I know. I think I delivered toner. I worked at an office supplier, and I delivered toner to the UU, and I met the woman that was there, and then I started talking, and eventually I started going. I brought my wife. We were having trouble finding religious community. We were going to our local installations, sorry, pagan service, which was in the military installation in our area. And it was not great, unfortunately. It was very egotistic. It was about the leadership taking like a literal place of a deity during ritual, which is not like uncommon, but the way they did it was very much like, I am this goddess, god, like I am, instead of like the theater that you may find in like other circles and other stuff. And like services would begin with these like new soldiers. You don't have to call me mom, but some of you will, which is like predatory. Because if you are a fresh, BTC soldier, right? Because I work on that side a little bit too. And you were leaving home, and your home was hard. You joined the military, like you're leaving home. and you may have done that because home is not safe, and someone goes, I will be your mother, that's predatory.
Oh, we heard that a lot in basic. and Lawton is right outside Fort Sill, so I totally get it.
And like, what are your thoughts on that also, as you...
It depends on how it's phrased and done, because it's like, hey, you're going to call me, you know, mom or dad. It could be, you know, out of respect, or, you know, look up to the person, or it could be predatory, like you said. It all depends on the person and how they're doing it. And
act. It's like day one. It's like very day one.
It's like,
It just seemed very, and there are other instances. I eventually like filed like an ICE report against, like, which for that, that's not like ICE, like immigration. No, that is like the formal complaint service that you use in the military to say like, hey, something not cool is going on here. And it can go all the way up to like the Pentagon, the president. Mm-hmm. And so like, I was kind of like hurt. I shook the cage pretty hard. I became a villain in my local area after doing that. And so like, while I'm juggling that, I'm trying to build like Fellowship of Midgard. And a few months, probably a year, of failing and just being a part of this religious community in UU, which UU's great. I get a call from someone from the On Post group.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, I think you were right, and I don't know what to do. It's like, well, that sucks, because I don't want to be right about harm. Like, I very much don't want to be right in that regard. And so we started talking, and our UU was already trying to plan a cup service. And so me and this other person, which we've fallen out since then, so I'm not going to name them, even though I'd love to give credit. If it was a credit issue, they deserve a lot of credit and hard work that they've done for our beginnings. So we officially started CUPS 2 years ago, we wrote our bylaws. We had a focus on equality, of ethics, of social justice. We meet at the same church location, and we've just been building through different cycles of people coming and going. I've had people outgrow our space, which is wonderful. Which I think how you denote success and failure is really important when organizing any group.
Mm-hmm.
If someone comes in and they're like, hey, I don't know what I am, and like every box, hey, Corey, my cat just like ran up. And they spend a few months with your group in this open space where they can question and challenge, where they can ask for resources.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, hey, I don't think I'm going to come back. I kind of know what I am, and like, it's not this, or a positive reason, or mm-hmm. even a negative reason. Like, that to me is a win. Like, hey, you learned about it yourself. Good job. You've done the growth. So I'm trying to keep track of like all my thoughts. Sorry.
Oh, it's fine.
I know I'm not giving you a lot of room to talk. I apologize.
Well, this is a space for you to be able to talk about your organization and all the cool things that you do and teach.
So I'm trying to think. I find it really hard for us to even find community. What was your experience with? I'll interview you. How about that? We'll flip it. What has your experience been with finding community?
I'm still trying to find my community, to be honest. I mean, I'm all over the different Facebook groups. Of course, I'm on all the socials for my business and everything, but I've been primarily solitary, trying to figure out who I am, how I believe, and I finally honed in on everything. My husband's 100% supportive, and he joins in on everything. He was raised Catholic, so it's been a weird roller coaster journey, and I'm still trying to find my soul family all over the world.
You know, and I'm glad that you like have that growth, because like that's also a problem that we get a lot, where someone will come in with all these questions and like their spouse is not supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Or like you get married as Christian, right? And then you go, wait a minute, this isn't working for me. And then like that can be you know, I'm trying to word it. Like
it can be problematic.
Yeah. Your religious change, right? Deconstruction, reconstruction, can be different from like your relationship, right? You could have very, very difficult spiritual questions and your relationship be largely fine. But whenever the price is like hellfire, or it's like, oh, my wife doesn't love me because she's not this anymore, or we become like, that's all very hard. And like me and my wife got married as a Christian, technically. We got married in the courthouse. Religious wording was fine. We were both largely agnostic. And then I started getting very weird very quickly, which caused some stress. And now I'm like, okay, I'm going to go try to summon Stolas and commit like divine heresy. And like, luckily my lovely wife is cool with that. But no, we get all sorts of stuff, and it's tragic that like community is needed. I've had people whose spouse or parents or family, whenever they come over, all their witchy stuff has to disappear.
Yes.
And it's like, that's tragic. It's like your home is your sacred space. Your home is you. Like they get like a little bitty platform. They get like a 4-inch by 4-inch place in their home for like a candle. And so they don't get that time to develop their, I call it religious confidence. It's not to make yourself zealous or to trick yourself into believing. It is like your time to understand you. And if you don't have
And to find out your, not only your beliefs, but your source of empowerment. What makes you you? Because that is your power.
No, absolutely. And we see that dramatic change within our community. What is it called? The hierarchy of needs. I forgot. Mm-hmm. Is it Winslow's hierarchy of needs?
Maslow's, I think.
Maslow's. Sorry. Which I reference this a lot. Because it's true. It's true. Because I see it every week. So the hierarchy of needs is, let me find a good one. Physiological, that's like your food, water, sleep, right? That is like your ability to like just like base needs survive. And then there's safety, your body, your resources, morality. Then there's like social, which is your family, your partners, etc. Your self-esteem is above that. And then the very top is your capstone, which is you. It's like your empowerment. It's been religious before, but now it's like the self. What is it called? Self-actualization, which is a great term for it. So you can't have that if you do not have the feeling of safety. Mm-hmm. You cannot have that if you are super food insecure. Through my copying of my wife's psychology homework, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not an expert, hands are up. People generally just need like one or two really good people in their lives.
Yeah.
And so if they can find that through community, I would hope that it's in multiple communities to avoid any problematic situations of like cult behavior, to, you know, anything like that, any sort of abuse. If you're codependent on one thing, the risk is just higher. And that's just, I hope people have multiple sources of comfort, is my hope.
That's definitely true. 'Cause I'm a recovering codependent myself. I've had to do a ton of inner work, inner healing, and get out of those people pleasing tendencies just due to relationships of the past and everything.
Oh yeah, me too. I have been like, a loyal dog before, and that was not a good time for me. It's been very bad. Growing for me in my world, not for anyone else, growing a spine was super painful. It was bad, but I'm here, so we did it.
When you're a people pleaser or a giver, you know, it feels selfish to set boundaries that are healthy. Then you have to start maintaining them. So it's an interesting transition, but it's worth it.
When that's tied to morality and like good being, you know, whenever you're not like the doormat, then you're just like, now I'm a bad person. I have to choose to be a bad person. And that is beyond difficult. And I see that in our community. I see that in people around us too. And it's like, no, like, you can make mistakes here, actually. Like, offend somebody, like, do something. Say, don't say you're sorry, like a million times. Just like, you know, we try to provide that space where you can be socially different. You can we're trying to be a third space now. It's sort of like next step where anyone can kind of come in and like participate, as in like a social neutral environment, I
Okay.
guess, say. So like we do karaoke night, we try to do like board game night, stuff like that, for everyone.
Okay.
But on needs, yeah, like you can't have that self-actualization without esteem, without friends, without safety. Sorry, I'm talking way too much.
That is A-okay. Now, you hit on food insecurity quite often with yourself and with a lot of your people, and you have a food pantry at your sacred space.
Yeah, so one of our tenets is based on equity. And unfortunately, the way that America works is it's not the government's responsibility to feed people. It's on charity, which gives like automatic goodwill to churches with no regulatory body, which I think is problematic. But no, in our space, we have a small building. With a lot on it, and we had it burned down last night, but we had, and we'll build it back, a food pantry, a blessing box that the community can come fill, that we can help fill, that our needful community can come and be safe themselves and not worried about being harassed by like police or loitering or anything like that. We often come to our lot and there is someone sleeping in the grass. With a cardboard box for a bed, and then we have something, we'll give it to them like a pillow. You know, we don't try to scare anyone off, because those types of spaces are super rare, especially in more red states. Like, it just is like being homeless is illegal in a majority of like the country. So we try to.
You do all of this by donations and out of, your own pocket along with the other members.
Yes, we are a 501c nonprofit. We need to explore grants. But yeah, everything we do is like from our own volition, of our own hearts and of our own money. Which is like good news because that means other people can do it. So I'm trying to think. So yeah, everything we have done, and it's dramatically changing. We've had to transition a few things recently. Is done by wanting to help others in our mission of equality.
And you're open for donations?
Yeah, I could definitely give you the PayPal if someone wanted to give.
Okay.
We're really awkward about asking for money because we live in this like socialist dream, and we it's just hard because you see people even in our own group outside in the world struggle. I'm the worst salesman. Okay, I've had a few sales job, and like the old lady would come in for her Verizon phone, and this phone's gonna be like $800. I was like, no, like your phone's fine. Leave, please go. I don't want to sell you this. And so we're bad at that part. We tend to bite the bullet. But no, we would appreciate any help.
Okay, so for anybody listening, they do need to replace and refill their blessing box, along with, well, any other materials, pillows, blankets, anything that can help out their local homeless communities and their own members. So I'm going to include the donation link in the description. So please go check it out.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here, and I'm excited. like I genuinely am. I watched like a few things, Nikki, and you're always like a joy. I can't wait to have you on. Our people are gonna love you. I was grateful to have Jay. And also, like, hey, if you're listening and you're like, this UU place sounds pretty cool, I would love to talk to those people. Like email us. We'd love to have you as a guest speaker. Our bar for entry is like almost zero. Like, just check the ethics and you're good. Like, we try to keep the bar hitting the ground. So if you have experience in like divination or seeing auras or macrame, like, hit us up. We'd love to have you come talk. I don't know. How's your experience been with us so far, Nikki?
Oh, wonderful. I signed up for the email list for the local cups here in Virginia. And they're always doing potlucks for a lot of the different seasonal type celebrations. They're a little far for me to get to for in-person stuffs, but eventually I want to check out one of their Zoom services.
No, and I hope that's great. So I went to the Norman Cups and had a pretty good time. But it was weird, not weird in a bad way. So the way the UU in Cups works, it's pretty much like a franchise.
Huh, okay.
So like to contrast, if you were to go to like two different Baptist church in two different towns, you'd probably run into like a very similar like service, a very similar like, this is the time we sing hymns, this is the time we like twirl flags, this is, oh, we speak in tongues, like there may be like slight differences in like what they allow. Okay. If it's a harder tradition, like Mormonism, right, I've talked to elders that are like, yeah, it's freaky, you go four states away and the building's built the exact same.
Huh,
right.
Okay.
Which is like liminal almost. For UUs, it's the reverse. You are used to maybe having an altar for your cup service that everyone brings something to. And on the next one, the leadership makes the altar and they have like hymnals to sing. It can be dramatically different based off of how they form. UUs and cups are generally in charge of their own bylaws, their own structure. During our issues with like schisms and like fighting, which happens with any group, mm-hmm. We've had to call the UUA, and the UUA is like, you're in charge. Like, why are you calling us, in a sense? But they're helpful. It's just like, they go by your bylaws. If you are in good standing,
mm-hmm.
It is yours. So I would be prepared to have a new experience every time you go talk to UUs.
Okay, so everyone's a little bit different. And I saw on the website, there are 110 different communities
chapters.
Out there, all in North and all North America based, Canada, US, and Mexico.
Yeah, and I would say there's probably a safe bet everyone meets on like the grounds of ethics, finding their structures. If you want to be a part of that community, it is going to be different. I found that some cups, like we use standard language, so like president, vice president, secretary, trustee. Other places may have like priestess, they may have like weaver.
Okay.
And so like I don't have context to what a weaver does. And so you may have to have some conversations to better understand like how things run.
Okay.
Which is why I had to do with a couple of the cups I've talked to. It's like, I don't know what this word means. Help. But typically, I found that services are, they light an altar, they say some nice things, they invite the four elements in a very kind of Wicca pagan fashion.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do their talk or workshop. Some places do workshops every week somehow. I don't know how they do it. But you're making wands one week and then making like ceremonial like necklaces the next. And I don't know how they upkeep that. That's crazy. we typically do like talks, which is just easier for us. So it's really like flavor, what flavor you want.
Okay.
Most have used Zoom due to COVID. So it should be easy to approach and to pop into a service.
So you can find what fits your needs just about anywhere then.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's see. Because I find most pagans, and I'm not saying UU or cups is the only answer, because it's not. Mm-hmm. If you want to start your own community, let me be the example that you don't need to be special to do so. You just need to talk to strangers. That's my like talk, build, make that Facebook page, get meet at the library even. I find that libraries are quickly becoming a better third space due to millennials and Gen Z taking it's wild. It's like such a reversal. Libraries are now meetings places for community. They probably have been forever, but now it's being like emphasized. Library use has gone up. Sorry?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Library use has gone up like dramatically in the past like 10 years. So if you want to start something, a book club, a pagan meeting, local pagan meeting, whatever, call your library like right now and say like, I would like to reserve your room for this. And they'll be like, okay. And then you're using a public space just for you. That's where I would start if you cannot find community. I'm looking at r/pagan as well for some insight for our conversation. Because what I mostly run into in my day-to-day is like, what is a pagan? Where can I find pagan community? I don't know what I am. Help. And those are all kind of hard to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Sorry. Because looking for community can be very difficult. So if you post on, if you go on Reddit, there are probably going to be, there's probably someone in your area already having a community. And I would start talking to leadership and members about any concerns you have personally. So I have the experience of knowing like dog whistles, which other people might. And of course, I don't know them all. They're dog whistles, which are how bigots confirm each other's behavior and see each other without raising suspicion. So an example would be like, I drink from my own well, which would mean that like, I think that people of different races should not be married or have children.
Wow, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, the AFA uses that a lot, which is the Ossetru Folk Assemblies. Folkish is also a dog whistle term for like white supremacists and stuff like that. Yeah. And so they can be very like well hidden because like people go, oh, like I'm an Appalachian folk witch. Like in that reference, folk is not a dog whistle. It is based off like folk practitioning, right? Mm-hmm. In Appalachia. Hedge witchery, bog witchery, right? But whenever it's used in this other context, it is like very direct and very specific. You are not allowed to be a part of this community if you don't conform to our idea of like who can practice. And it's bad. I really like the bite model for authoritarian control to kind of scan stuff. I'm sorry.
Can you please explain that?
Yeah, so it is it Jim, I forget it, Stephen Hansen. So if you type in bite model on mm-hmm. Google, I'll give you a link too.
Okay.
It is four sectors to like identify authoritarian groups or cults. Like cults in the negative way. I also use cult in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
Just like it has been throughout in academia. Like the cult of Persephone, right, is like very obvious, like not a super derogatory term,
mm-hmm.
But it stands for behavior, information, thought, and emotional control.
Okay.
On the website, there is these parts broken up with examples. I'm sure you can make your own. So for behavioral control, it may dictate how you live, where you live, or who you live with. They may like care or like who and how you have like intercourse and relations, right? That's not our business. That's your cups. It may be like you know, marking you with tattoos, threatening harm, rewards and punishments, which we also don't do. You can, you know, like that's what you want to look for. You want to look for a place that you can be you.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that like you're not going to change. Like, obviously, if you go into a safe community, you're going to explore yourself. You're going to ask questions. You may hit like an odd buffer with someone else. You may disagree, like, because these things happen. But if someone is saying that, like, oh, you haven't like given us money in 4 weeks, you're gonna have to sit in the back, right? Or this person has worked super duper hard for us, they're gonna get these privileges. We or at least with our group, we don't do that. We'll do like certificates and stuff. We've done like quickenings, but that doesn't instill like power or privilege over someone else.
Right.
There is information control. Don't look at these resources, right? How dare you? Our members can watch Fox News all day. we don't limit information. We want people to bring questions to us. And that can even be like spying on other members, inside outside doctrines, confusing people. There's thought control, which is like our way is the truth and nothing but the truth. Changing your identity through like pet names or other instances, like giving you a forcing you to have a religious name would be an example. Not questioning leadership, and then emotional control, which is like guilt of sin, which is like fear of the outside world. Oh, they're all coming to get us, stuff like that. That keeps you insular. So if you go to a group and they're talking negatively on another group super hard, they may try to instill false confidence in you and make you feel like a superstar, right, on your first day there, that may be red flags that you need to consider.
Okay.
Sorry.
Hey, this is all informative for anybody who's new and trying to figure themselves out and trying to find their sense of community. They need to know what to look for, so they don't fall into those traps, because they can suck you in and take all your money, because there's so many examples of cults that do crap like that.
No, like there are groups, right? So like this would be a good example. There are pagan communities. There are probably other denominations that like have similar stuff, like flagellants, I guess, would be a good example, where they think it is appropriate for you to harm yourself for your gods, which haven't seen any historical precedents for. And if there was, I would be against self-harming for your deity. I would say that deity, if it's wanting you to do that, is acting cruelly, and I would not want to work with them. I would not tell my members this is the correct way, that you must hurt yourself, right? That's one example of like, to me, not okay behavior, especially coming from like leadership.
Yeah.
Of saying like, you have to do this, or oaths, in the pagan community, especially like what I find in heathenry, there's this big like love of oaths, like, like you have to be an oath, you have to make an oath to be a man, like type mentality. Like, no, like don't do that. If your leadership is saying you must oath to me or us, run, because that's locking you in a social, a parasocial contract, that's not legal, by the way. Like, run, with the reinforcement of like religious ideology, to keep you in, which happened in that online Facebook group. To be an admin in that group, you had to do an oath, and through those oaths allowed harm to happen with the person running the page, involving other people's spouses, their family, their finances, because they were oath bound. They could not talk about it.
Wow.
And these are all like rational people. These are all people that have had an education, that go to work every day, that have skill sets, and they fell into the right religion on this Facebook group. They fell into this ideology of control, because they wanted to feel in their faith. They wanted to be confident in their faith, in themselves, which is what we all want.
Yeah.
I still stutter when I do offerings to Thor. Right? I think like our confidence as pagans is lacking in a majority, because of like church hurt and trauma, and it's just hard when the entire culture is against you, in your practice. And so, wow, now I'm looking for community, right? Like that's kind of the point. The community is for you. It is for you as an individual to gain confidence, to feel that what you're doing is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you can be yourself, whenever you can go, hey, like when I donate money, where does it go? And for that not to be shut down with vitriol, right? Or I'm like a Christian witch. Do I belong here? Like, absolutely. Like, you know what I mean? It's so things like that. Like, you should be able to bring yourself to the plate and go, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
Which don't do that on day one. Fill it out. Vet them. And hopefully it's a space that you can be yourself. And mm-hmm. I've never done tarot. And then, like, bam, there's a workshop for you. Bam, there's a talk for you. Bam, there's resources for you. And you can go home and play with cards for like 6 hours and then get nothing but the moon and the tower and cry. I hate the moon.
I pull the tower every single day and I'm just like, okay. My spiritual team wanted to break me of that fear of, oh no, the tower is a bad card. No, it's not.
it's just like, and then like you get like 10 of cups reversed. You're like,
like, oh, no.
So yeah, that's just like our bag. And like, it's crazy. Because most people, because for me, it's very normal. I've been doing this for 2 years and I'm a weird dude. To quote my friend's sister, I'm a weird little guy, which is an honor. But like on the outside, it's like, well, how do you get all these people that differ to agree? And it's like, well, we meet on ethics. We don't want to harm each other. Like, rule one, like, we're not out to, what's that, like, debate, like, edgelord, like, debate bro mentality. Like, checkmate, you know, like, we're not checkmating each other. If someone comes and they go, well, as long as it's not, like, a harmful belief to, like, themselves, and we wouldn't remove someone or ask them to leave because they're like hurting themselves. Like, that needs care and attention. Mm-hmm. That needs like a soft ear. Be like, hey, bud, like maybe we don't like do whatever that is. Maybe you shouldn't be drinking like colloidal silver or like chewing on asbestos or something, right? Let's like work on a new thing. Sorry. but like, I lost the plot. Because I made myself like crazy. Sorry, we meet on ethics.
Yeah.
And so people can like believe in ghosts. We can do like all sorts of stuff. And if someone doesn't want to participate, they come back next week. And we don't judge them for it. Like,
mm-hmm.
If tarot's not your bag and we're doing a tarot workshop, if you're not there, we're not like hurt. It's like, okay, well, tell us what you're into. And then we'll do that. And then you'll be the only one there and we'll still have fun.
And you yourself are very eclectic as it is. I mean, Neoplatonism, ceremonial magic, and heathenry is, how do you make that all work for you?
Very weirdly. So within heathenry, we have like a core set of books that are written about 300 years after the events that transpired, which is like the Icelandic sagas, that talk about all these different people, places, things, mythologies. The Poetic Edda is a little older, but still written by Christians, which isn't negative, but you need to know who. Sorry?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So writing in like Latin, like the Latin form of writing, parchment, verum, or however you say, like the leather paper, mm-hmm. Really didn't come full force into Iceland or Scandinavia. In what we would recognize as like prose of writing, it's an oral tradition, mm-hmm. until like the church was established. These people like probably knew how to write in like Futhark and their own language, but we don't really get surviving manuscripts as like we would see in like books until after the church is well established.
Huh, okay.
And it's a big pull to tradition. It's like a lot of these sagas are, I want to prove that my family is related to nobility. So I'm going to talk about how we're related to the gods, right? Through Freyr, through Ying, mm-hmm. For the Yingling saga, or the Volsunga saga, which talks about how like Odin puts like a sword in a tree. And it's like, whoever gets that becomes king. I don't know. Like, you know, all these like epic tales. But what we lack is one, like authentic kind of like works, which they are authentic to the culture and the time period. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to say like, oh, this is like a pagan work, right? This is like something that people like, we have one version of a story that was orally told when there are millions that we just mm-hmm. don't have. So we have a lack of samples, is a better way to put it. Okay. In the context of these works, they have heavy Christian bias and bias at the time, which is for any historic work. And there's a lack of philosophy. There's a lack of like hard cosmology. Because we can say like, the nine worlds rest on Yggdrasil's branches. What do I do with that? Like as a practitioner, what am I supposed to do with that? How would someone during the time period really think of that? Would they just go big tree? Would they have a deeper understanding? Because I don't. And I'm plagued with like my modern thinking.
Okay.
But on like what is good, we have the Havamal, the words of Odin in the Poetic Edda second book, which is like, look both ways before crossing the road. Which is like the first part. Then it's like hospitality. And then it's like, well, if someone like rips you off, you can rip them off back, like Pharisees. Then talks about magic and Odin's love quests and stuff. But still lacks cosmology, is kind of vague, is still trapped in like this Christian thinking as well, that like I was raised Christian, I don't think I really need more. And I'm not looking for like a Bible either.
Mm-hmm.
So I started studying philosophy with my friend, and I really vibe with the Platonism or Neoplatonistic thought. So Plotinus, who was a student of Plato, his Aeneids, or however you say it, has a topography of the soul, which is super interesting. And has like the idea of like the first mover, which would later become the Trinity. Of like, before there was anything, there had been something, right? Classic like ontological argument of like the divine. And in Plato's schooling, this was the one. It has all ideas, it has all forms, but it's not personal or personable. It's like chaos in Greek, right? Or Rome. And so we are the after effect of it. It hits matter, or it allows matter to happen, then matter takes shape, and matter is kind of flawed, and that's like evil. That's why we have evils, because matter is like flawed. Things are forms of themselves. That's why your image of Aphrodite, whether it is a pencil drawing, a Barbie figure, a statue, or in the temple, should work theoretically the same. Mm-hmm. Because it's the image of an image of an image of an idea. And so I dig Platonism pretty well. I like the philosophers like Iamblichus talk about magic being contra to nature. So when I look through spell books and grimoires, right, Iamblichus is like, how come you have to be pious to talk to the divine? Talking about this priest class that like abstains from sex,
mm-hmm.
that like may shave their head, that cleans the temple, that fast for weeks. How come they have to do this? But like all of this magic is like how to get money, how to survive court, how do I make someone love me, right? It's very selfish. And so it turns into, it's counter to nature. You are wanting to change nature for your benefit. And then Iamblichus was like, well, you probably shouldn't do that. You should like just try to learn the divine, right? You should just, like, knowing is enough, which I'm in that camp, even though I do like magic. So I'm exploring that right now. Which is fun, which is mostly like the veritable keys of Solomon. I'm going mm-hmm. through like the Verum right now. I'm in the middle of making my tools currently.
Okay. And,
Sorry.
oh, no, you're fine. Personally, I think magic and nature are essentially the same thing. And we can work with the elements and spirit, soul, source, whatever the heck you want to call it, to affect change because we are the creators of our own reality.
No, I agree. It definitely, like, either way, right? It allows you to do it.
Yes.
Like,
And
you
I
have a
love
group.
the. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's it. Like,
Oh, I love the fact that you're exploring so many different facets of, different methods of learning and being, and you're finding a way to actually harmonize it all. I think it's fantastic.
I view spirituality as a sandbox. And if someone's like, I don't know what to do, like, it's a sandbox. Go play. Go have fun. Like, go, like, it's, like, obviously, right? If demons were this super harmful thing, you would hear about occultists die every week from, like, some, like, obscene, like, awful house fire or this awful illness or, like, growing horn. Like, that doesn't happen. So, if you want to do something, go do it. And then write it down, see the results, talk to trusted community, and say, like, hey, I lit a red candle and I tried to, like, made my day better and it didn't get better. What do you think happened? Right? But yeah, Matt, either way, like, we have a green light to do magic, and hopefully we do, like, the good types of magic, not, like, abuse it in whatever way. I find it neat that historically the same magician that would come and, like, try to make your pneumonia better with, like, herbs and all sorts of stuff or cast out demons, it's the same guy that you'd use to curse someone else to get pneumonia. So I find our views of on magic and ethics, like, interesting. Because in the past it largely didn't matter. You paid the same guy to do both. But yeah, how do you make your cosmology and stuff work? What are
I've become, I call myself omnius eclectic. There are no only one way of being. So I honor all paths, all faiths, lack of faith, because atheism, agnostic is still, extremely valid because that's belief in self. And they're all paths to the divine, just being explored in different ways.
So I am, like, largely jealous of my atheist neighbors, because I am, like, hitting the bricks and, like, hoping that they get to go, like, play Minecraft. And, like, here I am doing this, like, I have a Solomonic chest in my, like, garage that I have locked because a book said so. I was like, man, I'm probably not rational. Which I think is, like, a part of the human condition. We all think we're rational, and then we get, like, in our one ways, and then we start arguing.
Well, and so many people I've found gaslight themselves anyways whenever they suddenly start opening up a new gift or a skill. And it's like, wait, am I hearing my guides or is that just, I'm just hearing things?
I'm very skeptical, and, like, skepticism is good. Like, I think, like, we can both agree, like, that. And so, like, I had this instance. I assume you believe in, like, some form of ghost, right?
I work with them actually.
Okay, awesome. So, I was working at wastewater, and our wastewater treatment here is awful. It's super dangerous and bad. And my coworker and friend was like, something wiggly is happening in, like, this room, where this control panel is, the dry press room. And he goes, I keep on, like, we call it pinging. Like, we go, hey, I saw you, in this area. And I told him to shut up and take a picture. And I'll also take a picture. We won't talk about it. And the next shift, whenever we met, we both had our picture, and it was the exact same place. We even drew stick figures. And it's like, huh, that, there's nothing human shaped there. There's not, like, a gas leak happening because there's burners that are on. We would die. Nothing that we could determine without using, like, very scientific tools, that there's something very natural going on. But yeah, so our skepticism led into experimentation, and then we're
That's
like,
awesome.
weird. And that we were just left with weird, because what are we gonna do?
Well, I mean, it all depends because you could always try talking to the energy or entity, depending on what it is.
I tried offering coffee and I don't think it liked
Did you get a like an emotion or a feeling?
things just got more dangerous at work.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But sorry, finish your statement.
Wow. Okay. Oftentimes, I'll feel an emotion or even just like tingles across my skin because I'm very sensitive to energy now. That's expanded since I started on this path.
So I would love to have that. We did. So this is like the cool part about like cups. So we're like on topic maybe. We have done spirit boxes. And that, so no doubt about it. If you're listening as like a hard skeptic, like me too, we have very crude tools, crude ways of communication. Like tarot can only say 70, like 72 ideas, right? You get double that if you count reverses. That's a super limited vocabulary. And if you're getting into divination, the first thing I would consider is what vocabulary are you comfortable with? Is a yes/no coin is going to be way more limited than like I Ching or I Ching, right? Like fundamentally. But we did the spirit box. We did the Estes method, where our clairvoyant put on soundproof headphones, wore a blindfold, and was listening to the radio. Which is a radio that just scans, and sometimes you can hear things. So crude tool could just be our minds playing tricks on us, right? Very valid skepticism, very weak point of the tool. We agreed on a method of pulling out in case it got too wiggly, which was we're going to touch him with a feather, something not scary. And our first seance. We did it in our church building, which, if you follow like the logic of as above, so below, we are a common place for people to gather, regardless of anything, including our needful community. And it appeared that our place was just full of ghosts, also in transit somehow, hunkering down, and so it. We got positive feedback on when the light was on and when it was off, despite being blindfolded. It asked us to light the candle that we had in front of us. And then when we did, it said, ouch. And our person didn't know if we lit the candle or not. Like they could only reasonably assume that we did. And then when we got to like the last 30 seconds of our time together, this was a weird dynamic. I don't have anything I want from the dead or spirits or familiars, and I don't know what I could do for them. And like a parlor trick is kind of like offensive, right? So we are just experimenting with these tools. I don't know how to make this relationship work. The last 30 seconds, we go in, we say, like, hey, we're going to end soon, like one or two more questions. And as soon as we pick up the feather, every time that we have done this, our clairvoyant got very tense without us touching him.
Oh,
Like
wow.
there was a rush to the microphone. And then after it was like, what the fuck? Like every time without cause, there was a rush to this way of communicating, is what it felt like. And it was a very unique experience. And it's cool that we could have done that. No parlor tricks, no Fox Sisters mess, just a bunch of people with various assumptions messing with a radio, really. What has your experience been with?
Well, oftentimes our guides will actually show up. Like for people who are clairvoyant, or who can sense energy or get impressions, they'll see them in different ways because all our perceptions are a little different. Some people start off seeing shadow people, and that's just because that's the part of the veil they're seeing through, perceiving through at that time. And it seems scary at first when in reality it's like Archangel Raphael or Hades or Persephone or somebody, you know, and it's like, hey, I'm just trying to get your attention. Oh, you can kind of see me. Oh, okay, I scared them. Oops.
Well, stop being scared. Be not afraid, right? Like, No, I so what I like about the Neoplatonic thought, I think it goes to like Hermeticism and stuff as well, is whenever we do work, whenever we do like our practice, whatever form that may be, if we're reaching out to something, and this could be like an idea, is forms. So if I do something for Thor, I don't think Thor shows up in my own camp. I think it is a messenger spirit, a daemon, someone that works for Thor, or the idea of Thor, perhaps. Okay. And it bears witness. And this liaison may have different likes or dislikes compared to my neighbor's Thor liaison. Right? And so then it takes what I said, and it like goes back. And it's like, hey, boss, like I got this. They offered mead in fruit, and they wanted safety, and that's like kind of your bag. What do you want to do? Like some kind of thing like that may happen.
Okay.
And so with like there is a great video on Christian mysticism, from like Religion for Breakfast or something, and it goes on to like light theurgy or light god work, where the divine uses your imagination to communicate. It is not you imagining the divine, it's the reverse. It's that impression on you. It's like when the aliens come and they take a form you are comfortable with. Right? It has to use your imagination.
Honestly, that's been my experience too, because I'll get memes that flash into my mind, or songs, or my most vivid first time seeing in color during a meditation was a comic panel. But not one I've ever seen. They created it for the song, I think it was Astronaut in the Ocean, because I literally saw like a skull inside a astronaut helmet at the bottom of the ocean, and I could see seaweed, and it looked like, you know, a comic panel. Like, well, that's new.
That's cool. No, I dig those experiences. And you like, it's such a shock when you have positive feedback. Is you really shouldn't, right? Like as far as like the rationale, right? I literally can't go into detail because I was told not to by what I was working with. So bear with me. Let me keep the mysteries obscured. but I'm trying to identify my familiar spirit, because I think I have one, something. And I'm assuming it's benevolent, because I have a hard time believing in like malefic things personally. I think like the universe is mostly good. Again, occultists don't just die horrible, demising deaths, right? Because you did your circle wrong. Like if that was the case, I would assume like there'd be way less like Wiccans, at least, or pagans in general. Because there's so many different methods to do so. And so I light an incense. And I have like special cards with images on them. And I basically, I do some, so sorry, on your meditation, I had a dream. This will add context. I had a dream. I was reading a Solomonic type book.
Okay.
And I have these books in real life. They're from, what is his name? Stephen Skinner, who's a great occultist, great author. And they're like very thick bound books, and it just has like the Key of Solomon in it. So I'm holding this book in my dream, and I'm reading it, but it's not the same book. It is a book that tells me whoever's reading this needs to keep up. This book and my lessons change with time. So these pages will be different. Sorry.
That's cool.
And I get to this chapter where it talks about the gate. And if someone's still listening to my awful voice, like try this and see if it works for you, get back to me. It had an image of two legs, two severed legs that were still connected to the hip, looked like a lino cut and a like a woodblock print. Mixed with like a real photo of these like mummified legs that are still attached.
Okay.
And it said like figure 127. Apparently I was very deep into this book, or I slept on it too long and I'm way behind. These are my legs. is what the author writes. These are my legs. I do not like using medical references because I think it's unethical. So here are a picture of like my dead legs. The legs are a gateway. And if you stand like this with your legs kind of like open, like a yoga pose, mm-hmm. lift your arms up and go, ah, like the headless rite or the bornless rite through Crowley. Your legs become a gateway to like some divine place. Hmm. And so I wake up and I immediately write all that down. I'm like, this may be important. Because I don't typically read in my dreams. I would not put these pieces together organically, I don't think. So this may be important. And so that was a part of my ritual with trying to commune with my familiar spirit. Like, I think I've gotten instruction. I'm going to emulate that instruction. I lit the incense and I got yes and no compliance from the smoke.
Okay.
Yes was a very narrow stem.
Mm-hmm.
No was, you know, pizza french fry. I got pizza on nose, like on and off, to the point where I was like, I'm either wackadoo crazy or like there's something here. And these are incense I typically use, so I know their behavior, and it's not that. And that's like the closest like positive stuff I've got.
That's awesome. And the smoke actually changed with each question.
Yeah, like that binary, like yes or no.
Okay.
And then like I like Jay's course a lot. I'll try to find, if or you can email me, or I can give you the link to that just because it's a great course. On like, it just talks about like good practices really of if you're doing divination to something, a familiar spirit, a god, an ancestor, and you have these crude tools, ask the broad question first. So my first question was, is something like you represented in this deck? If I got no, then like I'm not gonna bother going which one of these five things is most like you.
Right.
This is not applicable. Mm-hmm. But I got confirmation on that, so I got to keep going.
Cool.
So that would be my advice.
Okay.
How do you typically work?
When I first started reading tarot, it was annoying because there's so many, each of the cards has so many different interpretations, and it was just like, ugh, and my brain would get in the way because I'm a recovering overthinker with intrusive thoughts and everything. So I went with a pendulum.
Oh, nice.
Or now, because my husband and I play Dungeons and Dragons, I'll occasionally roll a d20 and be like, all right, 11 and higher is a yes, 10 and lower is a no. Oh, cool. There's a no.
That's awesome.
And even if flipping a coin can be like, you know, because spirit, deities, whatever you want to use, whatever verbiage, they can manipulate the energy enough to make it, you know, move like your incense smoke. That's an awesome example right there.
Yeah, no, and like with that, right? Because I get it. I get like skepticism, but yeah, you know, like it's a hard thing to like really tackle. Mm. But you can like double, triple confirm. Like do it. Do until you're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're over that kind of hump, like write down everything, be skeptical after, and then mm-hmm. communicate with people outside your regular group, people that you trust, like, am I crazy? Right? Like you're allowed to do that, to check yourself. You're not going to get an exact science. We just don't have like the methodology to like, dude, I would love that. Let's make a big Google spreadsheet of like positive and negative interactions with ghosts. I would love that study.
The only problem with that is this: everybody has a different experience and perception of reality, and the divine in all its forms meets us where we're at. So everyone's going to see something a little bit differently or experience something a little differently. So
100%.
It's really strange. And I love hearing about other people's stories because it just gives me a better, a more complete picture.
So I guess like two things. I have a god pole that I carved in Thor's image out of like a big tree trunk mm-hmm. that I got for helping a dude move his motorcycle into his truck one day. And then I carved my image of Thor. It's kind of rough, but it works. And it has a face, a poorly done face. I'm not a woodworker. And I moved Thor next to a campfire I had started. And the way that the shadows moved across his face, like animated, like those cool cave paintings. And he never talked to me. He never like moved his lips or rolled his eyes or sneezed or anything. But I started talking to Thor like he was there. And I gained insight onto Thor. And what I gained was Thor is not the god of like strength or way traveling or really protection. He does all of those things. Thor's the god of integrity, which is what I got out of that interaction. So now when I do offerings, I say the integral Thor, because that is my relation to Thor in all of the sagas and Eddas. Like, have you heard the story about Thor wearing the dress?
Yeah.
to pretend to be Freya. Like, Thor is against it. Not because it's a dress, not because it's a Graveson the Cross dress in the Viking Age, which it was, you could get divorced over it. It was because it was a trick. It was a lie. Thor wanted to go in there and kill and fight and, like, you know, meet this adversity head on. And you see that throughout the sagas. It's like, Thor's just like, why are we tricking people? Like, stop. Like, why are we lying to get this wall built? We could just pay him. We're gods. and so I really like that about Thor and my relationship to Thor. And I got to have that cool experience. You know, you probably are not going to see a god come to Earth and, like, shake your hand. I will say my spirituality now feels way different than, like, the Holy Spirit sort of vibes. It's much more mellow. I don't know if your experience has changed since you were.
Oh, when I first started, you know, there's so many people who say that, you know, ceremony and ritual has to be this big thing and it has to be all formal and you have to say the right words. It has to be flowery, sometimes rhymey. And I was like, that's not me. So, you know, I tried to do the formal thing and I was like, you know what? I started even cussing at my guides. Just because it's like, you know what, I'm going to set this boundary, because some of my guides would poke and prod and give intrusive thoughts to help me get over that and push back. So I started telling them to go F off. It's like, hey, you know where the door is. You can just leave if you're going to keep with that talk. Because I could hear them after a while. And it was just like, huh, we don't have to be formal. We don't have to do all this ceremony unless we want to. And some do like respect, of course, you know, everybody does, but it's not where we're going to bow. It's like, no, we're walking together. We're co-creating together. And so I love it.
For me, right, I think there is a huge misunderstanding in the pagan community on, like, you are a priest. Like, no, you're not. We are typically not going to be priest class. I don't consider myself that. I run like a religious org. Like, I am not maintaining a temple. I am not maintaining these rites, like I was saying before. I am a practitioner. And, like, if you don't think that mopey young men ran to Aphrodite because they thought the prostitute in town loved them, you're wrong. Like that's what they did. Like, the gods have heard our cringy, whiny, loud, sad, aggressive stuff since we looked at the sun and went, hey, there's something about that. Like, if you don't think, like, some, like, fresh out of the dirt person was like, my grass isn't growing enough, like, what the fuck, like, that probably has happened. Since we started acknowledging something else happening around us, right? So I think that we wear this hat of, like, I have to be, like, no. And even then, I love Egil's Saga, written by Snorri Sturluson, it's accredited to him now through academia, where his sons die horribly. Like, Egil's a super badass dude. He, like, fought Eric Bloodaxe. He's like, he was horribly disfigured and ugly all of his life, and, like, surmounted that obstacle in this, like, frou-frou society. But his sons die. And it's tragic. And so he writes a funeral. He wants to kill himself. And his wife or daughter come. They go, no, you have to the funeral. He's like, oh, you're right. And so he writes prose. which is heroic prose, which is like language of the gods. And he cusses out Odin and Ran and Aegir. He's like, why have you done this? I thought we were friends. And if you view that in context of a modern pagan, of like, the gods cannot change fate because they are fated to die, then why is Egil crying right now?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he pleading in this verse, right? Is it because it's just good poetry? Possibly. Is it because it makes you feel sad? Possibly. But like, this would be a heresy mm-hmm. in any other faith of this man going like, I thought we were buds. Like, how did you let my sons die of sickness? How did you let him die in the water? And like, to me, that was like hugely inspiring. The gods have just heard our trivial stuff, and I don't think it bothers them. Like, no, personally.
They still love us and support us through literally everything.
And like, we're part them.
Mm-hmm.
You can be very pragmatic. Like, we are space dust, like collided into like some form of like consciousness. Or we are made of the nature that makes the gods themselves. And that's why we can do cool magic stuff. That's why we can, we're neurotic apes that can ask questions. Which is a fun, horrible place to be. I think, I'm trying to think. But no, that's just my position.
Very chaotic, and I love it.
It's a sandbox. It's a sandbox. Like, I will say, I've had negative interactions with Divine also
mm-hmm.
because I'm stupid. When I first started practicing, I had a pewter Mjolnir. I'm very lucky to have a metaphysical shop in town that's super good. Mm-hmm. So I got my first Mjolnir, and I was like, ha ha ha, I'm a heathen now. Look at me. And then I got like this really cool one I'm wearing now. I've added board task to it and all sorts of stuff, but it took 6 months to get here, so I'm quite fond of it. It's very nice, it's unique. And I gave my old Mjolnir to Thor on my altar. A few months pass. I'm still in that codependent kind of, I want to help people vibe. And I give that Mjolnir to a friend. Don't do that. Don't give offerings to your gods to other people. Fairly obvious, but hey, my new Mjolnir goes missing immediately.
Mm.
And I lose stuff all the time. I have brain damage. I have ADHD. I lose my keys and my phone every day. But in our small apartment, this was lost. Like, weeks had gone by. And I'm laying down. And my brain goes, hey, you need to apologize to Thor. Like, you were kind of not a good friend. And so I go, okay, you're right. Excuse me. I don't even know if this is real. I don't even know. But okay, like, hey. And I put my hand on my little statue. And I go, Thor, I did you wrong. I'm really sorry. I gave away what was yours to someone else. In good faith to them. Right, I was trying to help, and I realized that I did that in like not the best way possible. And as I walk back to the bedroom, I step on my Mjolnir.
Wow.
And it is just there in the hallway. We don't really have pets. We don't have children running around hiding things. Unless my wife threw it in the hallway, or something. I had no reason to be there.
Mm-hmm. And you would have seen it, but prior to.
Yeah, I would. I'm walking down a hallway. It was in the middle of the hallway. My imaginative brain wants me to say it appeared under my feet, because that's what it felt like when I stepped on it. But that's probably a little too imaginative. Have you had any, I guess, negative experiences? As far, I know you're talking about like this aggressive kind of like boundary pushing.
Because I've had to learn how to establish boundaries and everything, I did have a lot of initiations, I guess you could call them, that were, hey, you're going to maintain this boundary no matter what kind of feelings come over you, and tell us to F off if you need to, kick us out if you need to. And I would use my imagination to visualize me pushing Amun-Ra out of the door. Because he was one of the primary instigators, because he was helping me because he's a sun god and the solar plexus is linked to the sun. So he was helping me establish my sense of empowerment. So that was just like, can I do that? Crap. Okay, well, I'm gonna do it. Screw it. Ed was like,
Yeah.
huh, okay, we cool.
Yeah, your house didn't explode. You're
A few days later, I get that he returned. I get a feeling of like all smiles. It's like, you did it. Good job. Huh. Okay. You're still a jerk.
and like that's what I like about I'm probably taking too much liberty with Iamblichus. It's like my view of Iamblichus, and his work is like very confusing and dense, and I don't understand it. But as we do religious work, and it doesn't matter what denomination, this includes like Christians, Jews, this includes Muslim and Jewish communities and everything in between. As we approach God, right, they affect ourselves through theurgy, through God work. And like that was Iamblichus's kind of point, is that like as you interact with the divine interacts with you, you get closer to the divine. So if I'm working with Thor, the hope is I end up being more Thor-like. I become more integral. I become more protective. I become more helpful, and not in a tyrannical way. Thor is not a tyrant. He doesn't wave his might. In fact, like through the stories that we do have, he abstains from like killing Loki. He abstains from like destroying houses. And, it's this right use of power that makes him integral. So theoretically, the more ceremony, the more magic, the more offerings I do, I should be more Thor-like, and that would lead to better understanding of the divine through that nature. And I love that
I do too.
because it doesn't require really anything different than yourself. I want to grow that like weird shadow work layer of like even like the hard parts of you are fine. They may need to be refined a bit, but you need to accept yourself, right? And then like the world should start making more sense. Iamblichus calls it the mysteries. He's talking about the mysteries of Egypt, but largely the mysteries are like the unknown, why omens work, how people can just like count birds and tell the future. Even he's like, that doesn't make sense, but yet our society runs off bird counting. And so it's very hard to relay to people that even have the experiences you do, just the mysteries are mysterious. And yes, that's a cop out. Sorry, we don't have the right tools. I had this conversation with a coworker where he like went on a rant that like religious people like keep secrets, and then I wanted to tell him about my experiences, but I had to tell him I can't tell you, it told me not to tell you. From my like work I was talking about earlier. And he's like, see, it's like, but it told me not to tell you. to anyone, to be fair. But like, sorry, that's just like, I want to keep doing magic. I want to grow closer to this thing. So until I get like the green light, I'm sorry. And it's not anything big. It's just like one, like a paragraph of information, really. But
Oftentimes, we need to keep certain things quiet in the beginning because the input of others, especially if it's more negative, like, oh, that can't be,
exactly.
it's just your
Absolutely.
imagination, that can actually alter your perception of it and diminish your hope and curiosity.
No, no, yeah, we are in a very cynical and materialist age, which is like not terrible. It just hurts imagination. And we see that, like, not to sound like super boomery, but like we see that in not letting toddlers paint the way toddlers paint, with not letting children like climb and like do all sorts of like these natural processes, right? Because like it irks me. It's like toddlers need to make a mess. That's just what toddlers do. And yet we're getting like perfectly made like turkey hands. It's like, no, like we should be like drawing crude families that triangle bodies and gray hands, right? And so we like demystified lots of part, and I like over mystifying is also a problem. We should not be like going wackadoo and running our government off religious principles, even though we kind of are. Just not like very good religious principles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it could be way worse in the other direction.
Yeah, and finding a balance is a huge key.
How do you feel about like the contemporary world we're in? Like, I guess like what how do you fit? I don't know how to ask the question I want to ask. That's the closest I could get. Or like, what are your common obstacles?
My comment, what?
Like obstacles.
Being out and completely open with who I am without fear of, ridicule, judgment, ew, or eek, get away from me. Oh my goodness, because Virginia is still very much in the Bible Belt. And I've faced, even just, you're doing this type of job, from people, at the bank getting my stuff started and stuff like that.
That's
Or losing paperwork when filing for my business license and stuff like that. Or even just, I got certified as Master Life Coach so I could still help people and get over some of that initial judgment of, oh, it's all woo-woo, it's all spiritual. It's like changing your mindset is harmony with logical and esoterical or emotional or basically working with the subconscious and the conscious. For me, it's synonymous with delving into the core parts of who we are, regardless of how people believe. So,
And like it's back to that hierarchy of needs, right? If you do not think there is a way out or a way to get better, or I'm not saying selling false hope, it's like that's also not helpful, right?
Right.
But like if someone believes that they do not have any support in their life, and you're not like reinforcing, like, well, that's not true, is it? Like, even if it's like a cat that loves you very much, like that is like you're not in this limited, abysmal space, right? We often need other people to like say, like, hey, that's not reality. You're spiraling, you feel very entrapped because we're neurotic apes. Again, we have built a zoo around us, right? And we have the human condition all the time. And so and a lot of that takes like monster spray sometimes, where a child will have a nightmare, mom comes with a monster spray.
I've used that.
Like it doesn't matter if the monster was there or not. What matters is the child's sense of safety. And
Oh, yeah.
like you as a mother know it's safe. Like otherwise you would probably drink something stronger than monster spray. But some people in our daily lives, like all of us really, if we think there is danger, if we think there is limitation, and it in religion or our spirituality is a good way to navigate that, that's a tool that is like purposely helpful, regardless of like factualization or hard evidence. And then like you get to that layer of like getting feedback, you're like, wait a minute, maybe this isn't sweet nothings, maybe this is like very powerful and very purposeful. I'm trying, sorry. And that's like my t like I'm all for big like monster spray.
In my mind, if you're doing it with intention, then it's working just the same as any other cleansing practice, anyways. Well, is there anything else you wanted to bring up for the listeners? Anything that you want anyone to know besides, hey, you can start your own community or you can go find one?
Yeah, no, like that's probably like the biggest thing. You as an individual can start anything that you want. Create a mission statement, have an idea, meet at the library, meet at the park, join like-minded already established communities that are close. So that may be the SCA, that may be a chess club, I don't know, whatever your niche is. And start small, build, define success for you. For us, success is a happy and healthy community where people can find their new best friend, where people can feel not alone, can embrace their spirituality. Our success is not determined by money, despite like us being very bad in that way, but we'll get through it. Our success is not driven by population or metrics. We could have 100,000 members. We could have three, and there's real no difference. We would not consider either of those based off success.
Okay.
We would consider the harmony and the growth of the individuals in that community the success. But your mission may be completely different. You may want to start a esoteric cult of, you know, Hermes Trismegistus. You'll find people that care. Mm-hmm. I'm a nobody. I'm not highly educated. I leave a job about once every year. You know, no like super background in religious leadership. I just like built a safe place as I come and play, and people did, and that we're here. And it hasn't been easy, but it's been fun. So that's about it.
Where can people find you?
So we are, if you go to the Cups of Lawton, CUPS of Lawton, you can email us at lawtoncups@gmail.com. You can, our Discord should be listed on the Facebook page. We keep things mostly local because that was part of our demographic scope. There are thousands of places to find community online, but very few places locally. And we didn't want to do a hard mix of both, because then we're catering in two opposite directions. It's very hard to fulfill the needs of an online community and an in-person community at the same time. But any listeners, welcome to join our community. Check us out, vet us, give us a thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever.
And you do your services online as well.
Yep, anyone can hop in our Zoom. We have events on our page. Like last week we did an invocation to Janus, the Roman New Year's god of beginnings and ends to start the new year. This week we are doing Satanism 101. And if you click that link, you'll go to our Zoom page. We start 1:30 at our time in Oklahoma, which I don't know what time zone that is.
You're an hour behind me, so central.
Okay. And thank you so much, Nikki. I hope I've been a good guest.
You have been.
I probably overtalked. I'll talk a lot. I'll talk forever.
Oh, this has been a fascinating conversation. And while this is a really long interview, I'm positive people are going to be listening to it or watching it on YouTube.
I would love to do a greater like podcast forum with the people that we're meeting. And I think that we can do a lot of cool stuff with a lot of topics in like a good form, especially like countering stigmatization. I don't know if you watch a lot of like religious content on YouTube that is counter to our position, but there's a lot of content that is like tabloids. And I would love to get a think tank of like experienced practitioners to react to one of these videos where it's like, I was a Satanist voodoo doctor, and now I love, you know, Christ very much. And like, we all know that's a lie. This person is lying for like clout. And then I would love to tackle that as a group and see like, what is kind of true, what isn't, what people experience. And I don't know if that'd be helpful. I just think it'd be interesting, personally. Because there's a lot of stigmatization. People think we sacrifice babies to, like, Baal, and we're going to curse people, or we're all going to hell. But we're gonna talk in hell, so it'll be fun. Well, thank you again, Nikki.
You're welcome. You have a wonderful day, and thank you so much for being on the show. All the links will be in the description, so go check them out. Thank you for joining me today as we explore what makes us uniquely loved. Be sure to subscribe. More adventure awaits. For more articles and to work with me as your personal guide, go to www.techwitchlayer.com. Always remember, you are accepted. You are valid. You are loved.